Stacy. She just said come back to her office to grab this. Okay, so we can wait a second.
I didn't.
Okay, this is. Wait for Stacy. I'm in the office. This is the office is gonna be late.
We're gonna wait for Stacy.
But we can start.
As soon as she comes back, I'm just gonna go to set. We're gonna start. And then we'll have to switch the agenda slightly.
Okay, so, I'm on.
No red bug. No indigestion. It should be.
I'd like to call this meeting to order for our second day of our governance workshop. Thank you again to our consultants, Councilman Davis, for your assistance and support. Stacy Corliss will be joining us very shortly. She was a little bit delayed. And I think Beth suggested that we work on the protocol piece until Stacy comes and then we'll pick that up because that needs to include all the files.
Right. Perfect. Well said.
Anything else I'm missing? Do a pledge. I guess I was thinking this being a continuation, but it's a new meeting, we should do a pledge.
I think it was agenda, it's like a new meeting.
Yeah.
It was a new meeting?
And you adjourned rather than recess.
I did, you're exactly right. So let's do the pledge. Let me lead us in the pledge. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any public comment that we're aware of?
There are no public comments.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right, good. Thank you. So, gosh, thank you everybody for your really hard work today. Davis and I had a chance to not only have a meeting at John's place, but also to do some work on the principles. And so we're going to bring forward to you what we're drafting about the principles that we retained from you, and also to do an exercise around the norms, because we'd like to be able to walk away as part of our governance handbook for agreement on those two pieces. But given that Stacy isn't here yet, I'm going to suggest that we do the other part of our agenda. I created a discussion guide for us. I'm working with the notion that we'll be done at 4 today. And if we have to make any bits of flexibility or need some more time, we can grab it. And also, we know that Stacy will be leaving us about 2:30. So that's going to be the coming to go for us. So divided that up into two pieces. One of the things we want to do in our first hour is we're going to talk about norms and principles and reach agreement on goals. And then also, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we can work together on the rules, the procedure rules, and the governance handbook so that they can become one document. So we'll talk about the process for that. We want to get to the second part, and as I said, we're going to start with the second part, not to be confusing. But we want to review the first protocol that you did on strategic planning, because Davis and I had a few things we'd like to gather from you a little bit more. And then we identified, based on this chart, the ones that we still want to work on. So we're going to do that in this order, and you have the chart in front of you if you want to check out the numbers. One of the things to, we certainly noticed, and we want to make sure you know, is that we'll draft them from your key ideas. So what we're really trying to gather is your key ideas and making sure that there's consensus on the protocols. So we will actually do the writing of the rationale and the protocols, then it'll come back to you. So you'll be able to say, yes, we actually wrote it the way you wanted it to be, or you can make any changes and adjustments. But I just want you to know that process so that we don't have to complete each one. But what we did notice, let me pull it up here. So what's your role in strategic planning? Because we have identified that Well, so let's take a look at the rationale. The rationale is that the strategic plan reflects a cohesive team decision. So again, with buy-in from the community and from the organization at large, that there's commitment beyond the document, so there's systems to continue to keep it as a living, vibrant document. It includes your vision, your outcomes, your results, so it's got a whole accountability piece, and it's important that it does. And that it's a roadmap, both a roadmap and a shield. And I think Bob, you said that in terms of being able to say, these are our priorities, this is what we're working on. If something else comes in, we have to make some decisions. We'll take some off, we'll, you know, we'll do some revisions. So again, one of the things that we talked about at the end of the rationale is I said, we'll write this in a more cohesive way, but it represents a tenet of good governance. Right? That's what the strategic plan is supposed to do. And that in that process, you're recognizing that you're working with an entire system and how it links with your budget, et cetera. So what we talked about in terms of this was, so annual goal setting process is something that you have, so that's going to be a process. And one of the other protocols you identified that I think fits in here is what do you do with a good new idea, right? So you put it in a parking lot, you bring it back, bring it forward to the process. So decisions that are made around priorities happen in the boardroom, so it's a board decision. There's an annual assessment, but quarterly reports. So you're going to be getting reports on those that are linked to and integrated into the budgeting process. So that's, again, having the priorities drive budget. And that is involved with this is a lot of community feedback and information. So that's what we had, but we wanted to see if there's, you know, again, board role. And Dave, sometimes you talk about that a little bit. What did you feel was still missing in this piece?
Looking at the title of the protocol that we were listed in, as you looked at it, I said the role of the Board of Supervisors in the strategic process. I think this really lays out the perspective on the strategic plan. But in this, I think that taking time to think about where the board as a board, where we're operating as a board together, interacts around the strategic planning process. One of the things that that I always emphasize when we talk about a strategic focus, when we're talking about a governance mindset, one of the things that's important with a strategic plan is strategic thinking. Some people will say that what we really need is in this plan, it needs to reflect strategic thinking. And so the question really is, where do you interact? And this is something that's, again, is up to you and is up to the board and Bob. I mean, it's not, there's no particular standard way that a board might interact. Some boards have a representative on the planning process, others don't want to do that. They want to see it come as a whole. So that's the piece that I think was missing in a protocol is where do you see the interaction and involvement of the board? Obviously, you have to approve the strategic plan, so we can obviously start with that. But is there another role in the planning process, which is a staff function primarily? That's what we've been thinking.
A role in the planning process?
No, I'm just thinking in terms of the issue really is, are you involved in the planning process? Do you have check-ins on the planning process where progress reports are provided in the planning? Well, what is the actual process now?
Well, we had the board worked with department heads and folks in Millshire on the outside to develop the 2019-2024 strategic plan. The plan once developed did not get incorporated into the daily life of all departments. In 2022-21, we brought in a facilitator, an external facilitator, we met in this room, to start the process with the board, to survey department heads. We reached out to the community And so the plan that the board adopted earlier this week was really the result of contributions by a number of people. There was an ad hoc committee, two board members, who were a little bit more hands-on, so they were part of the process. We had a committee of department heads who also, you know, were part of the process. So there were a lot of entry points for this. And at the risk of speaking for anybody else in the room, I do feel like the plan that was ultimately adopted was something that a large number of people participated in, and that we didn't simply write it up and hand it to the board to say, okay, this is what we got to do.
Okay, that last comment particularly is just what I'm getting at. Because that does happen. You deliver the strategic plan up and down in a single way. So the protocol, which is basically your agreement of how you want to handle it, might very well be to validate that process to say, in the protocol, for example, if there will be a process for board of, as defined, board involvement, or if you call it a check-in, I like to call it a check-in process. The purpose of all of this is that it's absolutely essential that the board own that plan. It's your strategic plan with the county. It's everybody, but you got to own it. You know?
But I think the quarterly reports, if I'm right, we've already agreed to the quarterly reports, and I think you said October this year is a target where Bob would be coming to the board and saying, here's how we're doing for the document. It would kind of say, here's what's going on, and then that would be on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, the plan that is adopted by the board took the format of, for lack of a better phrase, a matrix of tasks, you know, goals, tasks, responsible departments, timelines, which makes it very easy to come back to the board on a quarterly basis and say, right, doing well, we're not doing well, we have to take some, you have to do an evaluation.
So I think just before we do this, there's a process.
I feel like it's pretty well defined there. Personally, I don't feel like there's a lack of clarity of what our role is, at least from, but I've been involved. So, you know, you looking from the outside in, I see holes, but I feel pretty confident in the way it's been, the board's been involved and the way it's going to board. Listen to the quarterly reports, weigh in, I'm sure we'll weigh in with those, right? But politicians, we can't help ourselves. Right. We'll weigh in at the annual assessment, and then, of course, during the budgeting process.
Right. So I think that's great, and I think what the piece that we were just missing again was kind of the process that led into what was defining. So I think that's really helpful. That's exactly what I was
thinking. And I appreciate your saying it that way, because one of the things that's important to understand about protocols is that they're not designed to fix problems, and we're really talking about how you want it to happen. And when it doesn't mean that there's a problem, but it simply means that for future supervisors, for a record of how you operate as a county board, for you to be able to share with constituents how do we deal with strategic plan. If the things that are in the protocol really are those things that work.
Yeah, it's a roadmap, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, it is a roadmap. So that was perfect. That's exactly what we needed. Stacy, welcome.
I have one question.
Yes.
Observation. So at one point we would get agenda items, like I'm trying to think of an example. It's the assessor's office. But at one point, he wanted to bring in a company that was going to do some sort of analysis of properties and try to catch people that have done improvements that weren't reassessed. But so, like, let's say you have an idea, or they want to group out a board. Somewhere it says this meets these targets of the strategic plan. So that along the way, you know, we're seeing these, like, the buy-in or the appearance, too, when you're doing your jobs,
correlate to the strategic plan.
Right, you check.
And I just did it like a check a box. But I do think it should have another box that says, has the strategic plan areas, and then there should be one that says core service. Because there are sometimes core services that are not in the strategic plan.
Yes, because core service is helpful, but...
Or any to keep up?
Yes.
I guess I'd like some help with that, because the strategic plan to me, as we presented, is a list of discrete goals and projects. That strategic plan is in fulfillment of, or advances, our vision, our mission, and our values. And if we try to find every board item, if we try to take every board item and slot it into the plan, that's not going to work. But if we're saying that this board item advances these values or advances the mission for looking, that to me, that brings a coherence. But I'm trying to focus on differentiating between the plan and the expression of our values. You know, the wheel that we were looking at before, that's not the plan. The plan was all of those departmental punch lists behind the wheel. The wheel was what we talk about when we talk about the things that the parents stand for. So,
but it can be both, can't it? This accomplishes the vision of X, and in fact, it's also radio.
Well, yeah, there are, by definition, there will be things that we do that are part of the matrix of the plan. There are going to be, by definition, an even larger number of things we do that keep the doors open that are core functions, or that aren't core functions and aren't in the plan. You know, I'm just saying that I don't want to try and pigeonhole everything. That's all.
I mean, I can tell you that last night I had an RPAC, a family guy RPAC, and I went in about 10 minutes to talk about my meeting with the chiefs, about, you know, hearing about the radio system, and then I went into, and because Wendy was on there, and I said, you know, our staff, you know, they spend between 80 and 90% of their time on core services, and just looking at this glazed Zoom screen, people are looking at me and, you know, trying to, like, understand what that means. And so I told him, I said, it's sort of like the schools. The schools don't have to provide buses, right? They have mission for core services, but they do because they want to help get the kids to school. We need a radio system that works because we need better emergency communication. So, but the public doesn't get the concept of core services and what they truly are. So somehow along the road that we're going down, if we could have a way to explain it a little better, and maybe it's just me not explaining it well, but I did try last. I went up all, it took a time to talk about this and letting them know that this is what the board's doing, we're committed to good governance, and nobody had a question about that. The first question was, you know, my road has this divot in it from the rain, and who do I call to get it fixed? That was the response.
I think there's a way for me to talk the staff and the board, you and discuss core services or mandated services, or catalog our services, whether they're mandated, non-mandated, service centers or mandated, discretion. I think we're biting off an awful lot right
yeah,
now.
I don't want to get so,
but right. I want you to know that's something that I've thought about and looked at and talked about with some staff, and that's on the menu for a year out from now. So we're thinking about it. We're trying to tell that story. And Wendy is one of the best advocates for that among the department heads of how much time we devote to core services.
No, she didn't say anything last night. I could see her smile.
Yeah. She said, are you okay with us moving on?
Yeah.
Did you want to do it? I want to be clear. If I was hearing a question from Davis about where the board's role with this is, and it just sounds like the current process, because I was not part of the original, is that staff is developing a plan, bringing it to board for approval. And where our role is
I would see that, yes, we need to approve that, but we also need to make sure that what our constituency is telling us are the priorities, or the priorities that are within the plan. Because if we're the ones that have contact of who I talk to, and we're sending them to places that don't have any ability to outreach properly, are they going to be covered by the plan? Because we could have the misfortune of representing a plan that works for staffing as it is, that doesn't really meet the needs of the community. And we don't get very far along before that hits friction, but we also then find out that staff can't meet the needs of the community because it doesn't have what it needs, and they don't ask us. So in our process of what we do, don't we need some input or feedback from the board of what the public is telling us? It aligns with what they're finding out. They're also working with the department head, then you're great.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you need from us to develop this, because they can do what works for them, the staff, and then we go, oh, it doesn't meet any of these needs. How is that?
Those kinds of concerns, well said, those kinds of concerns, which are not uncommon on board, those kind of concerns get to this point when we're raising it, get to this point about where the board is involved, so that, and you described a very coherent process of how the board is involved, that's where that needs to happen. It should never have, if it happens, and this is my opinion, if that kind of feeling is expressed at the end of the process,
yes,
during the appointment process, the process has failed.
Exactly.
Because you should be, when it comes to you for final approval, there should be no surprises. It should be basically a matter of the board. Because if the board doesn't feel the strategic plan is right, as a board, operating as a board, then they will not approve it. It is not unprecedented for a board to not approve it. It almost always happens when the board has not been involved early enough so that they can build their understanding. The second point I want to make is, I hope that, and I know you said that to make this comment as an aside, but it's very important that the board never feel like they're rubber stamping again. Because when that feeling begins to occur, it's like a cancer that begins to spread. And for the CAO, it's very important to make sure that that feeling isn't actually developing from the board, because it is a very serious problem. But it's symptomatic of a deeper problem that the board doesn't feel like it understands. Because I think that part of the process of input is also for this deep learning. You have to understand that now the strategic plans are very complex, but you have to understand the philosophy, the principles, the extent to which it matches everything that Bob was saying about the values and the moral imperative and the vision and all of that of the board. That's something that you need to learn as you go through the process. So by the time it comes to approval, the reason that it may not be controversial is because the board supports it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to comment a little clarification as I was listening potentially to.
Makes me nervous when you're rich.
Well, I was listening intently to Supervisor Dugan, and I just want to be clear. My takeaway from the process and the way we've circulated information. Supervisor, are you saying that that's how you felt that the board got presented when you take it?
Oh,
no. Okay. I just wanted to be clear.
The way the process was defined and boiled down, I want to make sure that it, because because you experienced it all differently than I did, that what I brought up was covered and doesn't happen.
Okay.
And do you have to define it in order to keep it from happening? Or because I feel like the board did have input at the right places, and I was not implying and thinking that if anything was rubber stamped, there is a level of trust that is developed with the information department heads are bringing to where you don't have to challenge a lot because you know what they're bringing you is the right thing and the input from the community is there. We know that happens with us, and I'm looking at the protocol to for the next people coming along.
Yeah.
Okay. And good. That's why.
Good.
And if it's clearly defined, and we all believe that that's happening, I didn't have any problem with it. I just want to make sure that you didn't, if somebody else coming along will go, oh, well, we don't have any input until
right.
it gets to us.
But that's the purpose of
the protocol. And that's what we're right into it. I added a few things into the rationale, so a little clarification. Good, good. So for Stacy's help, just to say what we're doing today, we're going to take about probably 45 minutes to work on norms and protocols because they're a really core part of our governance manual, and we have a process to help make that happen. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time, we want to make sure we cover this before we lose Stacy Simon, about what this final product is going to look like, just to confirm how that's going to manage. And then, we already did this, so we're going to take this one off of our list here. But we have identified five others that are on this list that we want to cover and write protocols with the goal of finishing up by 4. Okay? So, for norms and principles, I handed out two sheets for you. Let me just tell you what they are, and then I'll tell you the process. We're going to use two separate processes. For the governance norms, that's your first page. These came directly out of the procedural manual. I also, on the second page, just brought you some to look at and say, is there anything missing from the norms that we've identified, based on the fact that this procedural manual was written several years ago at a different time in your development, you may want to make some adjustments. So we're going to spend a little bit of time individually, just take a look and say, is there something missing? Remembering that the norms, the purpose of the norms is to define how you work together. You have a really interesting section in your procedural manual about civility, right? And it's part of this process, is just continue to reaffirm that. So that's the first thing I'm going to do. The second thing, and don't look at them yet, but I'm excited about them, is that on the back of one of this page are the principles that we drafted from everything we work on together. I'm going to put you into teams to look at them and then to talk about, one, are these actually reflective of what you thought? And then secondly, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about if these are the principles by which you operate, what are you going to be doing? Right? So then we're going to do that in teams. So we can, the purpose is exactly what just happened with this first protocol, which to me is really exciting, which is you drill down to really say, if we're going to live by this, what are we really saying? You know, is it really correct? So that's what we're going to do with the principles. So first off, I'm going to give you, 5 or 10 minutes to tell me what you need to look at the governance norms. Say, is there anything missing? Do we wish that we articulated it by using one of these? Would we rather write it differently? So remember, we're going to want to walk away with about 5 or 6 norms that define how it is you operate as a governing body. So it's going to involve Stacy Simon, it's going to involve Bob, it's going to involve each of the supervisors. So everybody good and clear with the project? Okay.
Thank you.
So I think I'm probably going to try this process and see. Let each one of you give us one. Let's see. So Bob, I'm going to start with you. What's one norm that you feel is important for this board?
Listen carefully and intuitively, work to understand others' perspective.
Okay. Stacy?
Contribute to the well-being of the group.
Jennifer?
Be willing to challenge your own beliefs and ideas. Stay open to new ways of doing things.
Okay. Good. Bob?
Respect and give fair consideration to diverse and opposing viewpoints. Respect each other's thinking and value individual contributions. Okay.
Thank you. Stacy? And if one of them is the same as others, feel free to put that in. Okay.
Success depends on participation. Share ideas, ask questions, draw them out.
Okay, good. John?
Ask questions when in doubt.
Rhonda? The only one that wasn't already said that was on my list was listen with attention.
That one too. Bob?
Check for understanding as well as agreement.
I'm looking for what number is that? I got it. Stacy, anything missing?
No, I just see, you know, on our old ones, you guys, number one, we can take off that priority before. That was a joke.
Okay. Okay, perfect.
Only the last two words.
You mean like I can tolerate you?
Yeah, I think it's just
So if that's all right with you, then your tolerance goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, as constant.
Curiosity.
Yes, absolutely. So the norms are how you behave together, how you behave with your staff, how you behave with the community. Okay? So the principles are what guides your decision making, right? And your governing practices. So with that, great question. I'm going to put you in teams, and I've got Jennifer and Bob Lawton together. I've got John and Bob Gardner, and Rhonda and Stacy. And Stacy, I'm going to have you be a floater. Or just kind of join us. Or you can do
it.
Yeah, you can actually. It would be great if we do a first if you will. But let me tell you what we're doing, and then we can do it separately. All right. So. Yes.
Before you come to the end, just a couple of for a comment, and that is that governance principles really are standards that the board applicable to me. And they actually are very successful in distributing to constituents and to the public. I've seen some of the board members will have their governance principles laminated or stamped on the wall, because it really represents the commitment of the board to their work and how they're going to be judged and that kind of thing. So keep that in mind.
So the exercise has two parts, and I want to echo what David said, because I think in all the work that I've been doing over the years in governance, as we start revolutioning or understanding the value of governance principles, it really starts driving everything else. So I always make sure that we spend time talking about what guides your decision making, what guides the way you work. They're powerful. So with that, the teams, the first thing the teams can do is look at these and say, do these reflect what we talked about? Do these reflect the way that we want to govern? Right? So you're going to look at all seven of them. The second thing I'm going to do is ask each team to pick two. Any two, I don't care which two you pick, and just say, what would it look like if we were doing this? How would we know if we were doing this? Okay? So again, we may end up with each one of the group picking the same two. It's okay, it's just what we want to do is make sure that not only are these principles of value to you and reflect what you believe in, but also you have a sense about how do you use it, how do you make it work. So again, I'm going to drop into teams. The first task is to say, it's great. Is anything missing? Did we get the language right? And we'll work some more on it based on the feedback we get. And then the second thing is to go through that process of picking two and saying what's it look like. Okay, and remember, what we tried to pull in our conversation yesterday is these reflect what you told us to the best of our ability based on our earlier discussion. Okay, so my teams, there's a little bit of movement here. I think it's just the two of us, which see us for a moment. I think that's right.
Simplify complexity.
Who said that yesterday? Until it all goes that way. So I'm going to I'll check in about 10 minutes. And if you're done before 10 minutes, great. But remember the process and making sure these reflect what we said. And then secondly, what's it look like if you're going on to it?
Thank you.
the details is important.
It's in there.
But it doesn't tell me anything that I don't assume are the same.
Just because